I did not say the sermon was going to be off the chain. I said church was going to be.
But
that's a lot of pressure. Need more prep time. Oh, goodness. What a great place to be on Easter Sunday morning, right? Goodness gracious. Sunrise service was awesome. This was awesome. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't leave here. This is great. Although I'm going to be hungry at some point in time and probably need a nap. But anyway. Yeah, happy Easter, everybody. And today, I contemplating what to say, I've got a lot of people in here who knows what this day means. And so being off the chain and having that's a lot of pressure to have the right thing you said. But I as I was reading, and it's going to be the same scriptures from this morning, but just a little bit more. So if you're at Sunrise, you're going to be an expert already. But we're going to read through the entire chapter of John 20, including when Jesus comes to see his disciples. We stopped. We didn't do that this morning. That was the cliffhanger. I want us to look through this scripture, and I picked out a couple things here to walk us through the story and look at some phases of faith is what I'm calling them from the disciples, in particular, John. There's like phases of faith if we're going to read this through. And we're going to read this. We're going to pick it apart here in a second. But in particular, we're looking at the character of John, the writer of the gospel we're about to read. And, he was a guy who spent a lot of time with Jesus. He had a lot of faith. He spent 3 years ministering with Jesus, hanging out with him, one of Jesus's closest buddies. And we see him have some different stages of faith, which gives me a lot of hope and promise for my stages of faith and your stages of faith. I hope it gives you hope today. But this was a guy who was close to Jesus. He was there during the crucifixion. He took care of Mary. Jesus asked him to take care of Mary. He helped in the mission of starting the church when we get into Acts, as you will be learning as you're reading through Acts with us through Bible study, everybody. And then he also gave us like 5 different books of the Bible in the New Testament. So he made a huge impact to this church, and he was there through all of this. And we're gonna read this, pick out things about him, and learn from them. You guys good with that? That's what the game plan is, at least. All right, so let's read the entirety of John 20, because this is what today is all about. As I said earlier today, this is the story. This is what happened. I hate to say story, because that makes it, these are the list of events and what happened and the people who saw those list of events. All right, the empty tomb. John chapter 20, I'll start at verse 1, and I'm going to roll all the way through to, I don't know, where does it end, 30-something, 31. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went barging into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded. Sorry, I read that twice. I guess you needed to know that. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, that's John, FYI, John, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Verse 10, then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw 2 angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize or she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, please tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were all hanging out together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." We're going to read about doubting Thomas, too. We're going to keep on going. Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe, and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. There's the Easter story, y'all. There's the Easter story. That's what we're celebrating today. As I was reading this and doing some research and like talking to God about what he wanted me to talk about, I can see through John, as I explained earlier, a transition, like a movement in his faith. I'd like to say at the beginning, I would say John's faith was probably on empty. Wouldn't you agree? He didn't really probably have much. Friday was horrible. And they're just hanging out, still scared, on Sunday morning, like, what is going on? Still questioning. I'm sure they were doubting. So I'm putting his faith, life, his how he's feeling, spiritually speaking, probably at a 1 or a 2, maybe on a 10 scale, if you will. And then we see he kind of moves to what I'm calling a maybe faith. A maybe faith. Because what we see here at the beginning of the story, we see Mary. She goes with some other women we know from other scripture, and she's going to take care of Jesus' body. But when she gets there, she finds a stone rolled away. She doesn't know that it's an empty tomb because she doesn't look in, but she thinks something bad, horrible, terrible has happened, right? She thinks Jesus was stolen, his body was stolen. Then she goes running back to the disciples to make them aware of the situation. From her testimony, from her story, from what she saw, we see two of the disciples, only two, but that's a story for another day. Two of the disciples, Peter and John, they take off running for the tomb, don't they? And I just want to say, don't ever think that your testimony won't move somebody. Even if it's a couple people, like Mary here, there's at least 11 disciples hanging out, right? And there's probably other followers of Jesus that are all hanging out, too moved. But I'm telling you, that was powerful, right? Her testimony and two people got to see an empty tomb. Mary's testimony moved them. And the two that were kind of questioning and like, maybe, okay, we'll go check this out, they moved to a maybe faith. John and Peter, they had a maybe faith. Maybe something miraculous has happened here. Maybe. We don't know for sure, but maybe something. So let's go check it out. They were curious. After having their faith at probably a 1 or a 2, they're now maybe at a 3 or a 4 on a 10 scale of, oh, well, maybe something's happened here. They had a little hope now. And they were energized. Something's going on here. God's moving. It's stirring. So they moved towards the tomb. If you, in your day-to-day, feel a stirring from someone's testimony or information, I encourage you to move. If you have a stirring of the Holy Spirit in your life when you're having quiet time or a discussion with someone or you're listening to a song or you're reading the Bible, you're in Bible study, you're preparing for your Acts Bible study that you're going to come to on Wednesday. If you feel that, I am shamelessly plugging things today. If you feel anything from those times, that's the Holy Spirit moving, and I encourage you to take on to that, cling on to that. Even if your faith life at the point in time is a 1 or a 2, cling on to it and move just a little bit. May you move towards a little more faith. If you don't, you might miss something. The other disciples who didn't move and were like, whatever, Mary, they missed it, didn't they? They missed seeing an empty tomb. Do whatever it takes to move to just a little bit more, a little bit of some maybe faith. Cling on to whatever. And we see John move to go check it out. Now, his faith journey doesn't stop with that. So he's a little, well, he had like maybe a teeny, eensy, beensy bit. Now he's got a maybe faith, but then he moves, after some inspection, he moves to a second phase of faith, what I'm calling faith with reason, or faith with fact, faith with evidence. We see his faith increase just a little bit more. He might be like a, I don't know, like a 5 maybe now, after he goes in and he inspects and he sees what's going on. How do we know that he had a little bit of an increase of faith? Well, verse 20 tells us that John saw and believed. He believed. He wasn't sure. It says after that, they still weren't sure exactly all what was going on. But he believed. God's doing something. God did something here. Jesus did something here. We see in the story that John is a better runner than Peter. I guess he was training in the... But John, yeah, he had better sandals. He had better sandals. John gets to the tomb first. He looks in, but doesn't go in. And then Peter follows behind and just barges in, doesn't he? Peter's like, whatever, I'm going right in. We don't know why John was hesitant. There's a lot of different reasons, probably. He thought maybe it was a crime scene. It was very disrespectful to enter into a tomb, right, for someone who is deceased. It was also dirty and unclean. So there's a lot of things that are probably going on in John's mind, a lot of uncertainty. But he waits, and he waits for Peter, who has absolutely no reservations. It just goes walking right in. We are not surprised that Peter just barges right into the tomb, are we? No, we are not. We know his personality. Side note on that is God uses all of our personalities. Isn't that awesome? You can see that right here, right? No one else is like me. Thank goodness for all you. And he uses all of us and all of our personalities for him. It's awesome. It's really remarkable to me that Peter still has, I think, when I read this, I think Peter still has, well, Scripture doesn't tell me what really Peter thinks, but it doesn't tell me that Peter believes. It says John believed. So Peter's there. He's standing in the middle of the tomb, looking at everything folded up and all nice and neat, and then, but he still had some questions. But John, it says clearly in Scripture, John believed, it says. Oh, we see his faith move, don't we? We see his faith kind of tick up a little bit. He's seeing the evidence all around him. Even though Scripture says that he doesn't really understand fully, I can only imagine what they're going through. I mean, it's hard to put yourself in their position, but try to, right? What's going on here? We see that he's looking around, he's checking out the evidence, and he's taking in all this information and processing it. He's having faith with some evidence here. Do you see where I'm going with this? He's putting some things together. He's thinking of a lot of different things. He's thinking of, or I'm going to assume that he is, he's thinking of the facts of the case. He's on the case. He's got an empty tomb. He has Mary's testimony. He's got the burial cloths. But then he also has his own personal experiences with Jesus. He's got his teachings that he heard Jesus speak. He's got scriptures that he knew of the Old Testament of what was going to happen. But they didn't really get it, but I think he's starting to put the pieces together here, people. He's adding with his little bit of maybe faith, some faith with evidence, and boy, that's really coming together beautifully. He's looking around. I mean, Mary's conclusion was, oh, Jesus' body was stolen. That's what she immediately thought when the stone was rolled away, right? But he's thinking, wait, why did they leave all this stuff? Everything's all nice and neat, folded. And then he's thinking of all the stuff that Jesus said. And he's realizing, oh, no, this wasn't a grave robbery. I think Jesus is alive. He took the information and his little bit of faith that he had, and he's like, oh, my goodness, the biggest miracle ever has happened here. Reason and faith come together. We have the same thing. I don't know if you guys know this, but we all have brains. There are some murmuring in the crowd. We all have brains. And we all get information, and we process that said information. And that's what he's doing here. And that's what we have to do, too. We have information that's happening, but we've got our faith, and then we've got all this information, and we put it together to increase our faith. And that's what's happening here. We see John grow in his faith. He had some maybe faith, and now he's got faith with some reason. Okay, I get what's going on here. And then his third and final faith in his phases of faith is his resurrection faith. This is the faith I want us to live in all the time. Resurrection faith. These disciples, the men and women who had followed Jesus and had experienced life with Jesus, they'd experienced Friday. They experienced Friday. They had a traumatic event that happened to them on Friday. They had seen their best friend murdered, and now they didn't know what was going on with the empty tomb. Their life is topsy-turvy. They were uncertain. They were grieving. They were scared. They were in need of comfort, and they were in need of strength. And then Jesus shows up. Isn't that cool? A locked room. Doesn't Scripture tell us? A locked room, and there he is. He's not a ghost. He's not a spirit. He's alive. He's alive. They can touch him and feel him. He says to them, peace be with you, on multiple occasions, because they were probably freaked out, right? What is going on? But he shows them more evidence, the hands, the side. They're putting everything all together. And then the scripture says that they were overjoyed. That's resurrection faith right there. Resurrection faith is where we need to land. He started the story to zero. Now John and all the disciples, they're at like on a 10 scale of 50. There was no doubt to them at that point in time, they got it. Oh my goodness, look what has happened here. Jesus is alive. We certainly knew he was dead, and now he's alive. No more questions. No more explanations needed. Jesus is like, oh, finally you get it. Yes, they finally get it. Jesus is standing right in front of them. He was alive again, literally. They finally got it. John and all of his buddies in that room had their faith exponentially risen to resurrection faith. Christ the Cornerstonians, please hear me this morning. Today we have an empty tomb. We have a live, living Savior, Jesus. We need to have resurrection faith every single day. Every single day. Faith that Jesus is King, he's our Savior, that he lives inside us, that we're guiltless. We need a faith that's unwavering no matter what's happening in our life because of a resurrection that we know about. We've seen Jesus, haven't we? In our hearts, we felt him. We've seen him at work in our church with other people. We need to have an unwavering faith, a faith that believes in the miracles that Jesus still continues to do all the time around us. Our lives should be changed because we have an empty tomb, right? How could our faith be at a 4 or 5 anymore? We should be at a 50. My 10 scales are always like that, off the chart, off the chain. Yes, I get it. Okay. Ay, ay, ay. We can't get bogged down with life, and I get it. I get it. Life is hard. Life is not easy. Life is hard, and it has circumstances that are no fun sometimes. But because we have an empty tomb, we have resurrection faith, and we're going to be okay. We can get through all of it. This is not a temporary faith. This resurrection faith isn't temporary. It's not fleeting. It's not conditional. It's permanent in our soul. It's a faith in living for Jesus and living with Jesus day in and day out. This should be something that we should be overjoyed about all the time. I mean, church was great today, right? Sunrise service was awesome today. But it should be like that all the time, right? We should be celebrating every time we come in here that we have an empty tomb. We have an empty tomb every single day, right? That's the resurrection faith that I'm talking about that I really pray for all of us to reach, get into, move towards. This resurrection faith was given to us by a Savior who died for us and now lives within us with the power of the Holy Spirit. And my prayer for you, for this church, is that we have this resurrection faith every single day. If you don't have it today, if you have no idea what I'm speaking about, please come and see me afterwards. Deacon Charlotte, Deacon Don, Pastor Tosh, we'd be happy to talk to you about resurrection faith. It's an amazing feeling. I understand, and especially looking at this story, I can see how faith is indeed a process sometimes. But boy, today's a great day to just jump in on that 10 scale at a 50 and say, I believe in it. I'm going to have that resurrection faith in my life each and every day, no matter the circumstance. Today would be a great day to start that. I mean, even John had a process, we can see. The disciples after this moment were never, ever the same, were they? Read Acts. We're going to have a Bible study on Acts. Wednesday morning, Wednesday night. 10 and 7. I don't know. But read Acts, seriously. If you want to see how these disciples had, what their resurrection faith did for them, read Acts. We'll be talking about resurrection faith a lot. If it wasn't because of that and them, we wouldn't even know about Jesus. Starting the church, spreading the word. I mean, yeah. They were never the same. And may we leave this place today changed and never the same. Because we know we have a living, alive Savior that we worship, that we honor, that we live for, and who lives inside us. I pray today that you leave here changed with resurrection faith in your heart. Each and every day. Each and every day, your life will be so different, so changed. Things are still going to happen. I'm not saying that stuff won't happen. But man, when you have a resurrection faith, you can get through anything because if you know Jesus conquered death, I got Jesus and Jesus got me and that's all that matters, right? Let's have resurrection faith as we leave this place today.